Something akin to normal is coming to America's most populous metro area. I'm David Brancaccio. What was once a U.S. center of pandemic a year ago, the New York, New Jersey, Connecticut region is now set to be nearly fully open for business in 2 weeks. Marketplace's Kristen Schwab joins us from Brooklyn. Kristen, I know what open is. What's nearly fully open?
Restaurants, offices, retail stores, theaters, museums, barbershops, gyms, and amusement parks can open at full capacity and without curfews on May 19th. That's 2 weeks from today. And the New York City subway will return to full 24-hour service 2 days before that. But New Yorkers will still have to follow social distancing with at least 6 feet of space between people. Businesses can skirt that rule if they require everyone to have proof of vaccination or a negative COVID test. And restaurants can put up barriers between tables.
But it's not like flipping a switch. Some places will phase back in.
Yeah, I mean, those barriers restaurants put up, it takes time to get the materials. Plus, a lot of service-oriented businesses have had trouble hiring enough staff to keep up with demand. And industries like the performing arts will take a lot of coordination. The Broadway League, which is the trade association for the industry, says shows likely won't return until September.
September. Now, wasn't it just last week that New York Mayor de Blasio said the city will open in July? This is May.
That's right. But ultimately, Governor Andrew Cuomo has the final word in this battle, and the two have been ping-ponging all year about how the city should be operating during the pandemic. At this point, more than a third of the tri-state area has been vaccinated, and cases of COVID have dramatically dropped. But experts warn that with the slowing pace of vaccinations, the region isn't done with the pandemic yet.
All right, Kristen, thank you. The European Union has announced that sometime this summer it plans to reopen to tourists, including travelers from the U.S. who can show they're fully vaccinated. But it's not just on your say-so. There needs to be a system. Here's Marketplace's Samantha Fields.
A lot of countries that rely on tourism are in a hurry to welcome visitors back, says Glenn Melnick, a health economist at the University of Southern California.
There's tremendous pressure to reopen for a lot of countries, right? Thailand, for example.
Tourism accounted for about 12% of its GDP before the pandemic.
France is the same. Other European countries, that, you know, in the summer, tremendous economic benefits of opening up.
With COVID still very much a threat, a growing number of countries see vaccine passports as a way to get those economic benefits safely. Lots of countries already require vaccination for yellow fever and recommend it for other diseases. But Jen Cates, director of global health policy at the Kaiser Family Foundation, says there's no international system for COVID yet.
Each country is kind of doing its own thing. And so that means that there's potentially different systems, there's different vaccines that are recognized.
It also means countries are still figuring out what to require as proof of vaccination and how to verify that proof when there's no international database. In the age of Photoshop, those white cards the CDC is issuing are easy to forge. In spite of all those issues, Kate says, at this point, it's not really a question of if vaccine passports are a good idea.
The train's left the station. It's happening. So many countries have said they're doing this or are doing it. It's just a matter of how to make it work.
And she says, how to make it as fair and equitable as possible. Dr. Wafa El-Sadr, an epidemiologist at Columbia University, says right now, requiring COVID vaccination to travel wouldn't be equitable.
In many ways, it will allow for a privileged minority to be able to travel easily versus the vast majority of the people in this world today who have little chance of getting a vaccine anytime soon.
In many countries, it could be a couple of years before there's enough vaccine to go around. I'm Samantha Fields for Marketplace.
And bungee jumping, not enough for you? Tickets go on sale today to take joyrides in space on Blue Origin rockets. That's the private company set up by Amazon's Jeff Bezos. Details on exactly how much and how could come today. Think something in the $200,000 range, two-thirds of the cost of a median house in America.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? Don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Then there are coronavirus hotspots around the world. There's a meeting of Group of Seven foreign ministers in London today to try to even out global vaccine distribution. Last week, India alone accounted for nearly half the world's new reported cases and a quarter of the world's COVID deaths. India's foreign minister's in quarantine at the G7 after some of his people tested positive. Meanwhile, Air India pilots who've been transporting critical medical supplies, including oxygen canisters and ventilators, are threatening to stop flying unless they get vaccine. Arunaday Mukherjee of the BBC filed this for us from New Delhi.
A pilots' union has written a letter to the management accusing them of not prioritizing their staff's health and safety at a time when India is battling an aggressive second wave of COVID-19 infections. Sources have confirmed to the BBC that at the moment, there are at least 70 pilots who are down with the virus. The letter states that pilots are struggling to get access to medical care and have not been getting any support from the management. The union has pressed for urgent vaccinations for all. In the letter, the pilots also make an emotional argument, saying they have been on the front lines flying thousands of stranded Indians to safety during the pandemic, but now they felt they were left to fend for themselves. Air India responded to say that they are looking at vaccinating their staff by the end of this month. In Delhi, I am the BBC's Arunoday Mukherjee for Marketplace.
Issues of fairness are being raised in India, with software engineers and others writing code and building websites to let people with better access to technology track down vaccines. In India, people age 18 to 44 now have to register online for shots, and demand, as we just heard, is far ahead of supply. I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.